Have you ever found yourself wondering how long? I mean, when you look out, you read the headlines, you hear some of the things that's going on in our country, and how long? A woman arrested for killing her babies. A sheriff who, after confiscating illegal drugs from the people who were arrested, then turned around and began to sell those drugs. A couple that was keeping children, a foster family, arrested because part of the children that they were taking care of, they forced to sleep in cages. How long? I mean, all the wickedness that just seems to be everywhere and all around us, the lying, the stealing, the raping, the killing, the hatred, the prejudice, how long? All the people in our country that are out there, in our country of all places, that don't have enough to eat and adequate health care, how long? A government that seems more interested in the upcoming election rather than doing the right thing for the people today, how long? A nation that continues to drift further and further away from the moral and ethical standards that God has very clearly given to us, how long before God sends His righteous judgment upon us? If you find yourselves shaking your head and wondering how long it's going to be before God punishes us, then you have something in common with a man by the name of Habakkuk. Now, there's quite a name for you, and there's not too many of those guys running around today, but Habakkuk. He lived in Judah, you know, Israel, Palestine, the Holy Land, a long, long time ago, and he was a godly man. And the truth is, he was troubled by all the bad things that were going on around him. He saw spiritual apathy and idolatry. He saw people mistreating each other and taking advantage of one another. And he finally spoke up. He couldn't take it. And he turned to God and he began to complain. God, how long? How long is it going to be before you send your punishment upon us? The truth is, if you read this minor prophet, you'll find a major word from God about faith. Habakkuk's not very long, won't take you but about 10 minutes to read all three chapters, and it's between Nahum and Zephaniah if you're looking for it. But Habakkuk, it's a dialogue. Habakkuk complains about the fact that God is so patient with all the sins of the people, and God answers the complaint. And when God answers the complaint, Habakkuk doesn't like the answer, so he complains some more. God answers again. Yeah, absolutely. And God answers again. And you know what? Habakkuk still didn't like the response that God gave him. And so, well, chapter 3 is his prayer. And I think that brings it all together for us. Well, we're going to read several passages in the book of Habakkuk this morning. We start chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. And here it is. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict all around me. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. How long, God, before you take care of all this unrighteousness and unholy living? And the truth is, God, if we would continue to read chapter 1, God says, you know what, Habakkuk, you're right. I am going to send my righteous judgment upon Judah. But that's just it. When God began to tell Habakkuk the way he was going to do it, Habakkuk didn't like it because God said, look, here's the way I'm going to do it. I am going to send the Babylonians to take care of it. And it's like, whoa, 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 God, wait a minute. You can't be serious. Really? The Babylonians, they're worse than us. They're bigger sinners than we are. How can you use them in order to punish us? I mean, that's what Habakkuk wanted an answer to. And the truth is, God gave him an answer. Not the one that he was looking for, but God gave him an answer. In fact, if you look down to chapter 2, verse 2, you find God's reply. It says, then the Lord replied. Write down the revelation. Make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. it will certainly come and will not delay. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous will live by his faith. And then God continues to expand upon the answer. God answered Habakkuk's complaint. I don't understand why on earth you would use the Babylonians to punish us. And God's reply is pretty simple. He said, first of all, wait, be patient. But more importantly, God said, trust me, even though you don't understand what I'm doing. You see, those words challenged the prophet. Truth is, if we're honest with each other this morning, those words still challenge us today. But then there's no way around it when it comes to faith. When it comes to being a Christian and living out our faith, it is always radical and life-changing because it requires from us doing things that we don't always understand. See, faith is radical at its core because it's only by grace through faith that we become part of God's people, and that's who we are. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. In Titus, Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are jealous for good works. Peter said, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Faith has Habakkuk learned impacted the way that he dealt with life and even the way he responded to the things that were going on around him. See, God said simply, the righteous will live by faith. And when we do, well, when we do, it really shows. When we begin to live out our faith the way that God wants us to, people are going to take notice. And if people haven't been taking notice of our faith, then shame on us. Because we are a peculiar people. We're going to come to life and we're going to approach it so much differently. See, faith is why we experience peace even when there's nothing but trouble going on all around us. Faith is how we can live a life of self-control in a society that lacks any control. Faith is why we find living and serving in the church so fulfilling and so rewarding. When God entered our lives, for by grace are you saved through faith, a radical change took place on the inside of us, and it's always true. I mean, think about the changes that Jesus makes alive. I mean, scripturally, you go and you think about the man that was living in the cemetery, right? I mean, he's crazed out of his mind. In fact, they put him in the cemetery because he was that crazy. And then after just a little talk with Jesus, he made everything right. And all of a sudden, this crazed man is now in his right mind, and he's now ready to go back and plug into his society. See, that sounds radical to me. Or think about Peter, Andrew, James, and John. These guys walked away from their jobs to follow a former out-of-work carpenter now turned rabbi. Does that not sound radical to you? Because it sure does to me. Or I can think about a nurse and a once policeman who walked away from a life that they were pursuing to follow God's calling upon their lives. And I call that radical. To live by faith is extreme. It's not just something that we do on Sundays. It's not just something that we do periodically throughout the year. But faith means that we are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come, and it always changes us. God calls us. In fact, it's more than that. God expects us to be a part of our lives every single second of every day. The truth is, we find in chapter 2, verse 4, the righteous will live by faith. Faith is more than what we do at church or how we do Thanksgiving and Christmas. God expects faith to impact everything, how we raise our children. He expects us to be honest and kind. He expects us to live lives of integrity and truthfulness. He expects to change the way that we look at people. The righteous truly do live by faith. And it's radical and it's comprehensive. In fact, it's one of the most radical things that God has ever said to us. Giving our all to God, our lives, our problems, our conflicts, our suffering is radical, and it's always faith. I mean, giving our all means there's times that we're not going to understand, just like Habakkuk didn't understand, and yet God's going to say, you keep going anyway. And it wasn't just Habakkuk. You want to go to the New Testament, you can find Paul. Paul wanted God to take away his thorn in the flesh, and God wouldn't do it. In fact, three times Paul pleaded with God. He said, and can't you hear, Paul? I mean, I can. God, if you'll just take this away, I know I can do so much more than I'm doing for you now. If you'll just take this thorn in the flesh away from me, it'll be better. And God said, no. Paul prayed again. He said, but God, it's painful. It hurts. It's hard for me to concentrate. I'm begging you, please take this away from me. And God said, no. And Paul said, you used me to heal others. Won't you just please come and heal me? And God said, no. And even with all of God's no's, Paul remained faithful because he believed. And the truth is, Paul found a miracle. It wasn't the miracle that he was asking for, but he found a daily miracle where the grace of God was always enough for him. Regardless of what he needed, it was enough. Paul found out that when he was weak, he was strong in the Lord. He didn't understand, but he heard God loud and true, loud and clear say, the righteous live by faith. It takes a lot of faith when we don't understand, especially when God's doing things that don't make sense to us. I mean, the Babylonians, God, certainly not them. They deserve to be punished even more than we deserve to be punished. I mean, what's up with that, God? And yet, that's what God said to Habakkuk. For Peter, Peter's world got turned upside down with exclamation points one day. We're told that he was hungry and waiting for lunch, and so he was praying. And while he was praying, God gave him a vision. In fact, God gave him a vision three times, and each time, remember, he was hungry, and God says, Peter, rise, kill and eat. And Peter said, God, you know me. I'm a good Jew. I don't eat unkosher food. I don't do it. And God said, do not call anything impure that I have made clean. Three times, same vision. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, no, not me. I don't do that. And God said, don't you call anything impure or unclean that I have made clean. And then right after the three vision, three men show up. And these three men aren't just men. They're Gentile men. Okay? A good Jew don't associate with Gentiles. And yet three men show up at the door and God said, here's what I want you to do, Peter. I want you to go with them. And I can almost hear Peter's mind. I mean, he knows what the vision's all about by this point, but he's sitting there thinking, I don't get this, God, but I'm going to go. And he goes, to the home of another Gentile by the name of Cornelius. And God says, preach to him, Peter. And Peter preached to him. And all of a sudden the Spirit came and there was a coming to Jesus meeting in that house. God honored and God blessed. Peter didn't understand it all the way, but he began to understand that salvation and grace were much bigger than he had ever realized. And he got to be a part of something special because the righteous live by faith. Look, God works in mysterious ways. There's no doubt about it. And those ways always call for faith. If we follow, things are going to happen to remind us just how awesome God is and how that our God is a God of details. And sometimes he works out, years in advance, and we don't even know what God's doing, but God's at work. I received an email back in 2005 from some friends of ours by the name of Sid and Vicki Smith. They were missionaries at Faith Home before us, years before us, and they were telling a story about how that one of the girls needed to go to the dentist, and so they sent her off with one of the house parents to a nearby community. And when the house parent got back, he's all excited. He hunts him up and says, oh, this is great. The dentist has heard of us here, the things that we're doing at Faith Home and the way we're taking care of these children. And this dentist had said that she'll come here and check the teeth of the children if we can just come up with some sort of a dental chair for her. And, of course, their mind in the email said, we're trying to figure out how on earth are we going to get a dental chair down here. And so they tell Julia Phillips, another missionary on field at the particular time, and Julia says, oh, well, we got one of those sitting down in the bodega, covered up. It was sitting down here 2-3 years ago. And what they found out was that God had already met the need years in advance before they got there. They just had to go uncover the dental chair and dust it off and get it ready. That's the God that we serve. Look, Peter did not understand, but in faith, he followed God and God used him. Paul did not understand, but God said, keep the faith and my grace will be enough to get you through no matter what it is that you face. Habakkuk didn't understand. And God simply said, the righteous will live by faith. And by the way, you read through the three chapters, you never find where God really explains to Habakkuk the prophet why he is doing the things that he's doing or the way that he chooses to do them. Don't we sometimes get caught up in this idea that somehow that God has to explain to us why God's doing what he's doing or that God even has to get our approval in order to do it? Clearly, God does not. Habakkuk, by the way, was, I like him, and I read over this passage, and I like a man who's not afraid to wrestle with the issues that tested him. And he openly confessed to God that he didn't understand it. And I believe that's okay. I don't think God is offended by that. When we don't understand something, if we come honestly and openly before God, I think God doesn't get angry with us. God didn't explain, that's true, but God did reassure Habakkuk, and he challenged the prophet to remain faithful. In other words, Habakkuk, you stay faithful, and it'll be okay. Someone once said, the better you know the planner, the more you can trust in the plans. I like that. The better you know the planner, the better you can trust in the plans. So what did Habakkuk do? Well, he prayed. He said, Lord, I've heard of your fame, and I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day, in our time, make them known. In your wrath, remember mercy. And then he ended his prayer with these words. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the field produces no fruit, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and enables me to go on the heights. Look, don't miss out on the power of the way that he ended his prayer, because we don't get the imagery. All right? He prayed, Lord, even if everything falls apart, even if the economy tanks, even if there's no food on the shelves of IGA, even if we go bankrupt and destitute and homeless, yet will I trust in you, because you are my strength. Sounds radical to me, but then true faith is always just that. Jesus once said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find faith in us as his church? Will he find faith in me? Lord, we bow before you this morning, and we recognize that there are a lot of things in life that we don't get and don't understand why you do things the way that you do. But Lord, may we hear the words that you spoke to Habakkuk so many years long ago, Lord, that if we're righteous, if we're truly committed to you, that we will live our lives by faith. And that, Lord, even in our lack of understanding, we will just open our lives to you and know that somehow that you will be enough for us. And Lord, I pray that you work in my life, that, Lord, the things that are in there that are taking me further from you, Lord, may you remove them and take them far from me, that I might be closer to you, that Lord, when you return and look, Lord, that you would find faith in me. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand as we sing this morning.
We invite the congregation to stand and join with us in number 355. Simply trusting Jesus every day, a powerful message on faith. If perhaps you're here this morning as a believer, even you've been struggling with some trials in life and you need a greater faith, like the man said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. We'd invite you to an altar of prayer to say simply, Lord, give me the faith to be faithful to you. Let us join together. Simply trusting Jesus every day. May that be our prayer and our life's goal.
Trust in Jesus, that brings hope. Trust.
If we'll trust, we won't find ourselves lying flat on our backs. You've seen the comic strip where the guy standing on the rug and somebody pulls it out, and next thing he knows, he's looking up. You know, that's what life is like without Jesus, okay? All of a sudden, you thought you were standing, but you're not. The truth is, the righteous will live by faith. Dr. Blank.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. May that be our prayer today of thanksgiving. Thank you, church. Till we meet again, you are dismissed, and may God bless you all.